What a delight to dedicate children. We're going to dedicate Jace this morning. God takes great pleasure in children. Children are a heritage from the Lord, a gift from God. So often we look and think about Hannah in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, where she dedicated her son. That's a tremendous dedication that took place there. However you want to believe the age of Samuel was when Hannah dedicated him, her dedication was a literal dedication in the sense that she presented him to God and then went back home without him. That means that she had to spend those first years prior to that with intense training, with intense instruction. I wonder if that's what God intends for us to do when he tells us in Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. Shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." The diligence that's involved with training and teaching our children. Jesus took them up in his arms and he blessed them and he said, "For such is the kingdom of heaven." There's no greater calling for parents than to raise their children for the kingdom of God. Byron and Susanna, that is your desire and intent this morning, I believe. The best thing that you can teach Jace is the fear of the Lord. The proverb writer tells us that it's the beginning of knowledge. In other words, the successful application of all that Jace learns in life depends. The successful application of all that Jace learns in life depends on him first learning to fear and follow God. The Bible urges us as parents, and it urges you as parents, Byron and Susanna, to love God with every ounce, fiber of your being, to teach Jace to do the same. As you love God and one another, and Keith and Bryson as well, you model before Jace the wonderful love that God has for him. And so by coming forward this morning before God and his people, Byron and Susanna, you are declaring your desire to commit yourselves and to dedicate your child to the Lord. Is this correct? And so I ask you now to enter into a following commitment in the presence of God and his people. The husband is the spiritual leader of the home, signifying it even now by holding Jace. We cannot dedicate our little ones unless we are committed to the task by dedicating ourselves. So I'm going to ask you four questions. Do you today recognize this child as the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you now dedicate your child to the Lord who gave him to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon his life in the hope that he will belong wholly to God? Number three, do you pledge as parents that with God's fatherly help, you will bring up Jace in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into his life? And number four, do you promise God helping you to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace, Jace will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of his sins and for the fulfillment of all of his promises to him, even eternal life, and in this faith, follow Jesus as Lord and obey his teaching? grandparents. I'm only less than 3 years into this grandparent stage, but it surely changes the perspective. Grandparents, you have a tremendous responsibility, as you well know as well, so that Jace will walk in the fullness of spiritual life that Christ has offered him. The challenge is that you too will seek God's help and pray for and encourage Byron and Susanna as they do their best to raise Jace in the fear of the Lord, so that Jace might come to know Christ as his Savior at an early age. It's a big challenge to know what to do and how to do it. But we, you grandparents, have a tremendous responsibility. Keith, you have a big responsibility too. And Bryson. Keith's getting to the age where he's able to see this a little bit more. That as you obey mommy and daddy and your grandparents, you are modeling it for Jace and for Bryson, so that he can learn from you. As you live for Jesus, it'll help your little brothers to live for Jesus. And Bryson too. Living for Jesus helps the ones that are around him in the home. So you have a big responsibility. And church as well. We all have that responsibility as a part of the body of Christ to teach the gospel story to our children, to the younger generation. Joel, the Old Testament prophet Joel, commands us to tell of God's work to our children, and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. Church, within the faithfulness of God, you and I have a distinct part in helping our children, and specifically speaking this morning, little Jace, make it to heaven. So that Jace can understand the claims of Christ and walk and live according to his claims, that we need to vow again, by God's help, to be faithful to our calling as members of the Church of Jesus Christ to help Byron and Susanna be faithful to God, and to help Byron and Susanna to teach and to train Jace in the ways of the Lord, that he might one day trust Christ as his Savior. That we, as the body of Christ, and the family in particular, spiritual family, make it easy for Jace to go to heaven. And hard to slip into hell. I think the older I get, the more I feel this. We have a tremendous responsibility. Because there's times that we think and realize and see people that have slipped through the cracks. We need to vow fresh and anew and commit afresh and anew that we will do our best to live it out before Christ, before Jace. The commands and the precepts of Christ. If you agree, church, would you respond by saying that you're taking on the commitment afresh and anew? Would you respond by saying amen? Praise God. Jace, precious little guy. Mommy and Daddy are giving you back to Jesus today, and they're committing to serve the Lord and to teach you. And we're going to dedicate you to Christ this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you today for your blessings to us, and we thank you for the gift of children. We thank you for Jace this morning. We thank you, Father, that you have trusted all of us with the spiritual life of Jace. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do our part in raising him and teaching him to serve you. Father, I pray that you would take his hands and help him to use those hands to be a blessing in your kingdom. That you would take his feet and help them to walk the way that you would have him to walk and to be faithful to you in his life, to be a blessing. I pray that you would take his eyes, his mind, his mouth, and may it be always used for your glory, for your kingdom, I pray. We dedicate him to you today. We trust in you this morning that you would help all of us to be faithful to the calling to see that Jace makes it to heaven, I pray. We dedicate him to you, Jace Robert Albright, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Smarties. Bless the Lord. Thank God for this opportunity this morning. Here's a certificate, letter, and his Bible. Trusting God's blessings and help. Praise God. Susanna and Sister Sturtevant are going to share in song at this time. Thank you. Praise his name. Thank you for that beautiful song this morning. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I want to read a too lengthy of a passage of Scripture this morning, but I don't want to cut any of it out. I realize the clock is ticking. Don't want to apologize for anything of the service and its content thus far. Enjoyed God's presence, blessings, and trust that God will help us even now to focus for a little while longer into his word. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, beginning, lay up, not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. For the text this morning, I want to go back up to verse number 21. That's our focus point. And that's from that verse is where we'll be drawing a considerable amount of thoughts this morning, hopefully in a short amount of time. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, what is your most precious possession? If we were to take the time this morning for you to actually give a specific answer, what would you say, what is your most precious possession? And then to follow that question and answer with another question, what makes that possession so precious? Why is it so precious? How does this possession look through the lens of eternity? Does it become more or less precious? Through the lens of eternity, does it become more precious or less precious? Somebody may have a precious possession in a vehicle, and yet we realize that they rust, they bend, they break. They're fairly often replaced. Furniture. Oh, what a thing that we can use as a possession that is precious to us. And yet we see so often, so readily, that they decay so quickly. Try as you might, they just don't last very long. Guns. Oh, yeah. Precious. Precious. But even this precious commodity or precious possession is only temporary. Some people act and some people live as though their clothing is their first thing of possession that is precious to them. It very well could be that those people that look at their clothing as the most precious possession have that because of some issue of insecurity. Maybe none of these are speaking to you this morning. Maybe it's great-grandma's china that you own and you have in storage. You have showing in some kind of a cabinet. It's still in perfect condition. There's not a chip and there's not a crack. And surely great-grandma's china is a valuable, valuable possession. Or is the most precious possession people? People. People that are created in the image of God. People that are created with a soul that will never die. A soul that will either live forever in an eternal heaven with bliss, or it'll dwell forever in eternal hell in torments. Only two options. Living or dwelling forever in eternal hell and torments is really nothing more or nothing less than living death forever. People. All people. But this morning specifically, I want to focus on our little people. Our little people. How do we get our kids to heaven? How do we get our children into heaven? Surely that is the foremost thought of every Christian parent. How can I take my children to heaven? How can I make sure that they will find their way, they will make their way, that they will be in heaven for all eternity? Some people have told me that there is no set prescription that a person can do. There are no guarantees, and yet I want to differ and I want to beg an argument with that individual or those people, because I believe that God has given us a prescription of raising our children for the glory of God and for heaven. Now I know that there are a lot of variables, and my children are not in heaven yet. Only one of them is here this morning. And I know I know that there's variables that go way beyond my control, that the enemy of our soul will do everything that he can, even now, to prevent my kids from making it into heaven, even though they are out of my house, out of my home, out from underneath my roof. And though I don't want to admit it, I know that there's been enough dysfunction in my life because I'm human that the enemy can take an awful lot of stuff from that to mess with the minds and the hearts of our children. Besides all the humanity that is found in the other individuals of church families, try as we might, the enemy will do everything that he can to destroy even that one that so wants to go to heaven. In the midst of all these variables, because we do live in a fallen world filled with chaos, strifes, and brokenness and dysfunction, which is continuously stirred up by God's enemy, who by very nature becomes our enemy. But God has provided instructions. We just have to follow it. Proverbs chapter 23 gives us fairly detailed. We've already looked in Deuteronomy at the detail and the diligence, it says. Proverbs 23, verse 12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Verse 26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now I want to give that to you in the Amplified. If you have that open perchance, remember, if nothing else, remember how it is worded in the King James. But I want to give it to you from the Amplified. Verse 12, apply your mind to instruction and correction, and your ears to words of knowledge. Verse 19, hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your mind in the way of the Lord. And verse 26, my son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe and delight in my ways. Now, if I'm talking to you about your soul, you as an adult, if I'm talking to you about your soul, I think I would probably begin with verse number 26. Doesn't that make sense that you're going to have to give your heart to God first? And then go to verse 19, and then go to verse 12. But if I'm talking to you as parents, trying to teach your children, then I will probably stick with the pattern that proverb writer gives us. As a parent, it is my job, as a parent, it is your job to apply their mind to instruction and correction and tune their ears to hear knowledge. Parents, that is our job. Then it is our job to direct their mind in the way of the Lord. Then it is our job to encourage them to give their heart to the Lord and to teach them to observe God's ways, God's precepts, and God's principles. The Hebrew writer shares with us in chapter 13, in verse number 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. But here in B section of this verse, it says, for it is a good thing that the heart be established in grace. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. How big of a job is it for us as parents to make sure that our children's heart is established in grace? People, I know you understand, but let me say it again, just as a refresher course. Our kids will not get to heaven on our coattails, on our apron strings. Our kids will only make it to heaven by the grace of God that is in their lives working actively and their sins forgiven because of that grace. It is our job, if we are going to make it as easy for them as possible to come to that knowledge of salvation, it is our job to teach them and to direct them and to channel their thinking and to shape them and form them into being followers of Jesus Christ. To direct their mind. To encourage them. Someone might be saying this morning that this is for individuals who are making choices for themselves. That is essentially correct, but notice verse 13 and 14. I'm talking about of Proverbs 23. We looked at 12 and 19 and 26. Is that for adults? Is that for people that are already following? Or is it for parents? If we notice verses 13 and 14, we might have a realization that what he's talking about here is the parental role in a home. Because he says to us there, withhold not correction. This is the verse right after the very first verse that I looked at. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him, children, you're grimacing, if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, that's scripture. That's not me. I'm not telling anybody to be abusive to their children, and neither is the scripture. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Are you kidding me? That's what a lot of people say. Let me give it to you again from the Amplified. Withhold not discipline from the child, for if you strike and punish him with the reed-like rod, he will not die. You shall whip him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol, or Hades, the place of the dead, where a person will live death eternally. Now, I know that every child is different. And that's one of the first things that people bring up. Oh, my kids are different. Yeah, I know my kids are different too. My kids are different than your kids. Your kids are different than my kids. And my three kids are all different within themselves. It is a learning, a seemingly insurmountable wall to figure out quick enough to make a real decision which one's different and how they're different and how do you know. Janae is one way, Jonathan was a different way. Caleb comes along and he is a third way. You don't have 10 years or 15 years to figure out how to deal with the differences. You have to figure it out quickly. Could I even go so far to say, and I know that I'm speaking here from myself, that I'm not giving it to you out of great large textbooks, not even so much as written exactly in Scripture. But I believe the principle is there in Scripture for us to follow. And that is that more than half of the battle of raising, or as my grandmother Ziegler would say, raising is for potatoes, rearing is for children. But I think you understand what I'm saying when I'm saying raising our children, that half of our battle is fought and won or lost within the first 5 to 7 years of their lives. half of the battle is won or lost by the time. Now, every child is different. That age fluctuates, however, but it's not 12 to 15. Somebody was selling switches on Facebook or Marketplace here recently, and it was so much per switch, and then so much more if the leaves were removed. And I thought, what in the world? And then I realized that they were selling switches for children's discipline. So I'll buy a dozen of them and put them at the back of the church. I didn't say that. I thought it. Make sure there's a switch at the end of the path. Most of our battle is won or lost, or fought and won or lost by the time that they're 5 to 7 years old. And most of that might even be fought by the time they're 3 or 4. Discipline the child. No. I'm not saying whip them mercilessly. I'm not saying beat them with anger and with embarrassment No, I'm not talking about that at all. As a matter of fact, if you have a problem with your children and it embarrasses you, then get down on your face before God and get rid of that embarrassment. Children will be children. They will do things that we don't like. Discipline, instruct them and teach them. Discipline them with consistency and with firmness and with fairness as much as humanity allows. I say that with much as humanity allows because I realize that there's a lot of problems that we have in our humanity. But let's look at consistency. That means day in and day out. Even if you get tired because of multiple infractions of the same thing, time and time again in that 24-hour period or within that 60-minute period. And yes, speaking from personal experience, it can happen multiple times within a 60-minute period. That's an hour. Multiple times. I'm not going to tell you which one, but multiple times in an hour. Consistently. Not by a different standard the next day or a different standard the next week, but by the same standard, firmly, committed firmly. Not the thing of counting to 10. Oh, let's see here. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 1/4, 9 1/2, 9 3/4. I'm almost at 10. Are you going to listen or do I need to get the wet noodle and spank you with it? And some kids, all children learn that process early. I guarantee you that my granddaughter would know that she can press it all the way up to that last little warning. Why do I know? Because she can count to 10 already. She's smart enough to know that already. She can count past 10. She knows. And she knows that if parents will do that to her, or if grandparents will do that to her, that she knows very quickly, very early on, that she has the whole previous amount of time to get up to that last little thing before the parent or the grandparent talks about the wet noodle or the paddle. It doesn't matter. Oh my. Firmly. Now let me give you a little bit of admonition along this line as well. When you're in public, discretion also, being discreet is also of necessity. Why? Because we live in some troubling days when it comes to discipline. Oh, well, I'm not going to be afraid. Well, what about when you're called upon to worship in secret like the persecuted church is? Are you going to have that kind of boldness to go out and say that? Well, it's a little bit along this same thing with our children. You don't have to hide completely, but be discreet, even in public places like a church. Everybody said amen, even though they didn't agree with that. It's still inside or outside of the church. Now, I'm going to have to preach this again in a couple weeks because half the crowd's not here. Fairly. Get ready to use your reverse gear. 3 John, verse number 4, says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are living in obedience to the truth. It does get wearisome at times. It is a job, but it's well worth the great dividends when they walk in truth, when they are living in obedience to the truth. Great, great dividends, I believe. No greater joy than to hear that my children are living in obedience to the truth. If they see inconsistencies in our devotion to God and His Word, they're going to see it. If they think our most precious possession is some temporal possession, they're going to see it. If God, you know, as in seeking God and following God and pleasing God, if God is not the highest priority in our lives, our children will see it. That you may think, you may somehow darken your mind to the reality that your children do not see your inconsistencies or your lack of priority, but our children know what our priorities are without us verbally expressing it to them. If church attendance is secondary, you know, what is it that keeps you from coming to church? Or what is it that keeps you from coming to church on time? Is church a second thought? Oh, we're going to be late. What is it that does that to us? You see, the world sees our priorities. Our children see our priorities. There are many things that my kids didn't need to ask us a bunch because they already knew the answer. I don't think that there was even of necessity that the question form in their mind because they just simply knew we were going to church. There wasn't any reason to ask them, are we going to church tonight? Are we going to church this morning? Are we going to camp? Are we going here? Are we going there? No. They didn't even have to even think twice about throwing a fit in the store because they knew that it wouldn't work because it didn't work at home. It's not going to work at the store either. They knew that saying no wasn't the right answer. And they also knew that their crying and squalling when they didn't get their way was just as bad as saying no. It was just as rebellious as boldly saying no, consistently, firmly, fairly. What am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about our treasures. I'm talking about for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And Proverbs has given us a good indication of how to treat our treasures. Apply their heart unto instruction and their ears to the words of knowledge. And hear, my son, and be wise, and guide their heart in all the way. My son, give me thine heart, and let their eyes observe my ways. The precepts, the principles, the guidelines, they're there. It takes work. It's a job. Sometimes it takes extra prayer, seeking God. Sometimes it takes a reverse gear. What is your treasure? What is your most prized possession this morning? I think it's safe for me to say that your prized possessions are your children. Let's treat them as such and make sure they get to heaven. Do everything that we can. As I've said before and quoted from Dr. Alan Brown from many, many years ago, Satan will have our kids unless we do something to stop him. May God help us to live and follow his word so that we can stop him from having our children. Let's stand together this morning. There are a lot of variables. Some of your children aren't going the God's way. I don't in any way intend to disparage you or discourage you. Keep praying for your children. God's faithfulness is ever present. Count on it, believe in it, trust in it, and pray for their response to come back to Christ. For those of us that still have our children in raising or rearing, let's rear them and raise them for the glory of God, doing everything that we can to see that it happens. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Robbins, would you dismiss us in prayer?